Hey, Grace Church, Tim Benzani, my wife Debbie and I have been missionaries from your church. We consider ourselves staff here overseas because we're part of the vision of Grace Church in sending people to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So we love you and we thank the Lord for you. Let me start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the dear, precious friends and brothers and sisters at Grace Church. I want to thank you for their loyalty to you and to us through all these many years. Father, they have meaned the world to us. They have kept us on the field. They have prayed us through so many jams. They have supported us with that love and all those beautiful meals when we're home, and just we know that they're on our side. So I pray your blessing and always have a thankful heart for the dear brothers and sisters at Grace Church. And we thank you, Father, for their sacrificial giving, for their kindness, for their love for us. And I thank you that we're able to serve you together in this ministry. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And as we look at your word today, as we open our Bibles, we ask, Lord God, that you will also open our hearts, that we will be affirmed, that we will be encouraged, that we will be challenged, and that we will be open and willing to really stir up the gifts and follow you in a faithful way. Help us to live faithful lives in Christ. Thank you for your grace to do all this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I wanted to look at some familiar verses, actually from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 2. We definitely are thinking about you guys when we read this. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And skip down to verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And this is a key for us. In verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, well, that's for sure. But because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Okay, yeah, that's a long passage, but I did want to start that, and I wanted to use it as a word of affirmation, and also want to tell you that this is what we feel God's called us to, all of us. I know that you send us out as missionaries, and so we have that unique calling, but my simple faith is that God has a purpose and a plan for all of his believers. And that's why we're left on this earth. He is not finished with us. He's teaching us. He's training us. But he also wants to use us as his witnesses in the communities and the places where he has put us. So basically for us, that's been the big calling about missions. We've always felt that our postal code is different, but we live as witnesses, as light, as salt, to reflect God's love, his beauty, to those around us. And we spent, you know, the 33 years in China, and now the Lord has brought us to Taiwan. We're very excited to be here. Yeah, it's still, we're still grieving with some of the loss after all the many years there in China, but you know, God has brought us to a pleasant place as well. And you guys prayed us through that, and we're so thankful for that. You stood by us, you helped us in that processing of loss, and helped us pray through options, and we really just felt this is the way the Lord led us, and we're so thankful to be here in Taiwan. As we've gotten here, we realize that we were very lacking in knowledge about the needs of this island, but it is an amazing place. It's still, we still speak Mandarin every day, so we didn't lose that. We're still working among Chinese people. We're still eating some of the same foods we loved to eat. And yet, it's a free and open society. Taiwan has a democratically elected government. We're no longer in communist China. So it's quite different politically and, you know, as far as the freedom and openness and opportunities, we're just really enjoying that. But on the other hand, we found that Taiwan is also a super needy place. In fact, most people believe that it's only 2.5% evangelical Christians. Even with all the freedom and openness and churches can be set up, and you know, we've had the chance to even speak and preach in churches here in Taiwan, which we never openly did in churches in China, it's still a place that is resistant to the gospel. So it's still heartbreaking to see so many people that still worship idols, so many people that still have these false religions that ultimately will not bring them eternal life. So we have the gospel, we have the good news, and that's what's exciting. It's a lot of what motivates us to be missionaries is that we know what it's like to be lost. We know what it's like to live without hope. But in Christ Jesus, He's given us a new life. He's given us that purpose. He's given us a plan. He's given us a ministry. And so we want to be able to share a word of encouragement that God has a special calling on you as well. I glance back at the vision statement of Grace Church, and I know you probably see it every week, but I thought I'd just look at it. Connect, grow, serve, and share. And so this word, I hope, encourages you guys to be involved in the, of course, connecting to God and others and to grow together, but also in the area of service and sharing. It says service to God and others is vital. We encourage our people to find a place to get involved and serve according to their interest and giftedness. And that ties into the scripture I read this morning. And also to share. God told us to share His story and make disciples. And we encourage our people to share God's story in our community and around the world. So, you know, you sent us, Debbie and I, to be a part of that sharing of the story to other parts around the world. So that's what I'd like to share with you guys today. But also in the meantime, want to encourage you guys as well that we have always seen the way that you stirred up your gifts, the way that you lead, you serve, the way you work within the small groups, the way you lead the church, the way that you provide all those amazing meals at church and at home, and the way you reach out to your neighbors, and the way that you have a passion for God. And that's been an inspiration for us. But yeah, today we're looking at our mission a bit, and we feel that same way. We want to share the good news and make disciples. I think more so than in the past, we were more directly involved in church planting, maybe starting out where Christ had never been named. We don't feel like Taiwan is the same. We feel like Taiwan is more of a place where we're building the kingdom of God. We're calling people, of course, to know Him, but also to grow in Him. And we're involved here. Our ministry now is opened up at Christ College in Taipei, the capital of Taiwan. So we're teaching. We use English to teach various courses. Debbie actually teaches English to English majors and non-English majors. So she's working with oral English and reading and you know, with grammar and stuff. But I'm actually teaching different courses like Western civilization. I taught a course on American culture. This semester I'm teaching how to do film subtitles and how to translate the film subtitles into English. And also how to, I'm teaching a course on intercultural communication. It's kind of cool because I get to use my missions background to help students to be more sensitive to intercultural, cross-cultural situations. And another course I'm teaching is on tourist English. So I that's kind of a broad sense here. But we're also serving as class advisors for the freshman class of mass communication students. And that's been a real challenge because their English is pretty low. So we're able to use our Chinese to try to encourage them, reach out to them and share with them and try and help them with all the class issues. And yeah, so I think this excitement to call people into a deeper relationship with God. I think the deepest thing is we love because Christ first loved us. And the need for us to stay close to God is so amazing. We live in such a broken, fallen world. And I just really feel like God has been so patient and loving and kind with us, with all our failures, all our disappointments to Him, all of our sin, all of our struggles, all of our confusion and doubt and times of trouble, times of loss. God has been so patient, so kind, and He's such a loving Savior. He's so beautiful. And I just want to remind you guys of the preciousness of our faith. I think when we talk to people who have no faith, we realize just what a gift we've been given, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace we have, the peace in the midst of a chaotic world, that He really is our rock and our refuge in times of trouble, that we are never alone, and we've been blessed in so many ways. So yeah, I feel like this is something that has been the primal motivation for us as missionaries, to really always be mindful of the beauty of Christ and who we are in Christ and what He's done for us on the cross and the power of the resurrection and the freedom in Christ to be healed and to be forgiven and to walk with His grace and know that we can always repent of our struggles. We can always return to Him. We can always receive His grace and His love and His acceptance. And then, wow, what a great story we have to tell people. And one thing I've found through the years is, as we do evangelism, realize people have strong opinions. They have strong, even resistance at times. And people laugh and think it's crazy. And they say, oh, we have our own religion. We believe in Buddhism. We believe in Taoism. You know, we don't need your foreign religion. But, you know, one thing they are intrigued by, and I think it works across the world in every culture, is the story of your testimony. The story that you share about what your life was like before you knew Christ, or how you've grown in Christ after you gave your life to Him, and to be able to share that. You know, people might not respond if you share the four spiritual laws or give them a tract or something, or even if you, in this culture, if you preach the Bible to them, you know, they don't even respect the Bible. They don't even know what the Bible is. But when I say, hey, can I tell my story to you? And if they have any kind of relationship with me, actually, it's really, really powerful. So I just want to encourage you not to be ashamed of the gospel, to not be ashamed to tell your story, to really actively be involved in the people around you, believing that God has put you in your workplace, in your school, in your family. I don't know about you guys. I still have people in my family, especially the extended family, that are not believers. And I believe that's part of why God put me in there. I can be light and salt and share with them. I have tons of classmates, even till now, that I'm still trying to reach out to. Praise God for the new media, social media. It's crazy and it can be really bad, but you know, through Facebook, I have contacted a lot of my old friends. I'm still a witness to them. They saw the old Tim before he knew Christ. They're still surprised that I'm a believer, much less that I would be willing to serve overseas. But they are hearing from me, and people here wonder, why would these North Americans leave home, leave family, leave America, leave Canada to live in a faraway land? It really intrigues them. Now, what are you doing here? And you know, we have an immediate opportunity to share the hope we have in Christ. We have an immediate opportunity. Our goal is pretty simple, to live the life of Christ that He's called us to. He's given us a purpose, and He's given us a reason to be here. As missionaries, that seems like our job, what we must do. But in all honesty, wherever we would live, even if we didn't have this title as missionaries, I would hope and pray that our lives would still be missional. I would hope and pray like yours, that it has purpose, it has a meaningful existence, that we are making a difference, that whatever it is that we do each day, that God is using us to really fulfill His calling, His high purpose for our life. The reason why He saved us is to share in His heart for the people that don't know Him. And secondly, a huge thing is also to make sure that we are involved in not only the gospel of evangelism, but also the gospel of discipleship. So I hope that's an area that you feel challenged, you grow in, that you are called not only to be sharing your faith with the lost, but how about those people in your life, your spouse, your kids? Are you deliberately, your grandkids, are you deliberately making disciples of those people that God keeps in your life? Are you deliberately praying over them? Are you deliberately sharing the good news? Are you deliberately teaching them how to live for Christ in this broken, fallen world? Are you hope in this broken world? Are you light in the darkness of this COVID-19? Are you a person of peace when everyone else is panicking? Are you someone that really is passionate about God and able to really be different than the rest of the world? Are people coming to you saying, you know, what is it? How can you be at peace when work is looking so bad and your company is struggling and you lost your job or you don't have health? How can you face these challenges? I hope that you're taking the opportunity, seizing the day, and I hope that you're being able to be strong in that. I think if we start with the beauty of our relationship with Christ, if it's vital, if it's life-giving, if we stay close to Him, if we stay in love with Him, if we have a heart of worship, you know what? We're going to naturally just share our faith with others because it's going to bubble out of our heart. There's going to be joy. There's going to be excitement. There's going to be a testimony because God has been so good to us. And we're going to share that. Let me read also chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1 down to verse 10. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Verse 6, the hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And 7, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into this. Remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Well, praise God. None of us are facing the chains. None of us are imprisoned for our faith. It's always a good reminder to pray for Christians around the world in the Middle East and in China and other places that are suffering even now for their faith. But praise the Lord, we don't have that. But I think instead of thinking in terms of just sharing in the suffering, I just want you to think in terms of how deeply you are involved on a regular basis in sharing in the service of Christ, and that way sharing in the calling of Christ, the purpose of Christ for your lives. I think these are three good insights. You guys have heard this. This is really old, but I just wanted to remind you as well. You know, thinking in terms of a soldier, thinking in terms of our lives as not our own, that we were bought with the Christ, the blood of Christ, thinking in those terms as a good soldier, we don't live for ourselves. We want to please our commanding officer. We want to please our Savior. We want to please our Lord. So are we boldly sharing our testimonies? Are we boldly able to share the story of Christ to those around us? Are there people that we just are not willing to share with because we're more of a people pleaser than one who wants to please our commanding officer? If that's a problem, I pray that God will enlighten you and challenge you and allow that fear to be gone, because we're not to be people of fear, but we're to be people of power and might and of self-discipline, of sound mind, of of deliberate, intentional service to Christ. And I think also an athlete, we know from the Olympic athletes, from national athletes, the only way that they can be really good is to do it by the rules, yeah. But also I think just the image of an athlete who is daily in training, in, for us that's like a picture of being in the Word, staying in love with Jesus, being in worship. These are the things we try to help our students to see. These are the things that we try to share when we're making disciples, that they should be faithful soldiers, they should be good athletes, they should be training these years at Christ College, they should be in training for what God has for their future. In the workplace, maybe some of them will go into ministry. All of them, we hope, will be leaders in their families, in their homes, in their jobs, whatever it may be, that they would be light and salt. And that's an encouragement for you guys as well. Yeah, and I think the third one is really cool. After our years of being farmers, we know a lot more what this means than we ever did before. Yeah, it is a lot of hard work. And I think sometimes investing in people, you know, is really hard work, and you have to be patient and have that endurance like a farmer to continue to have faith that as we plant seeds, God will bring the water, God will bring the rain, and God will bring a powerful a fruit from our labor. As we look at these verses referenced here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 about a soldier, athlete, and a farmer, it's just a reminder that God really has a role. Even those three things are quite diverse, and each of your lives are quite diverse, but in each of these cases, God is calling us. He's enlisting us to be His representatives. He's leaving us here on the earth to be light and salt and to be His witnesses. And it is something that I think we should take seriously. And in fact, one of the primary motives or background for us being missionaries is honestly one of obedience. For us, we feel like God has called us to be His children. And we believe all the promises of the Bible are ours to keep. But there's also a really strong reality that the commands and the all of the Word of God is ours to also obey. So that is a factor for us to shape our life and the day-to-day life in Christ. We need to think of ourselves as not our own, that we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. And we are, in fact, a soldier for Christ. And we have a mission and we have a duty each day. I think in that way, if we start thinking more about that, it helps us to think about how do we use our time? How much time do we binge watching Netflix? All of us are vulnerable to that, especially in these circumstances, but can we also actively, creatively, intentionally be in relationships that are encouraging other believers to walk with Christ, encouraging non-believers to know Him and to ponder whether God is really a Savior, that He's real, that He exists, that He loves them, that He has a purpose and plan for their lives. I know many times I just feel like I want to comfort myself, make myself happy, but you know, God reminds me that He invested in us and He wants a return on His investment. He wants to see fruit from the work that He's called us to. And as a soldier, I no longer really have, I shouldn't live my own life. I should live a life in freedom in Christ, but not with the freedom just to live my life as I want to, selfishly, self-centeredly. Instead, I need to live a life that is centered on Christ. I think also, as I think about the athlete, you know, I think frankly speaking, there's some things that God asks us to do that are quite inconvenient and at times disagreeable. It's as simple as paying your taxes, but much more than that. Like I have this story about a young man that I spend a lot of time with him. Weekly, I would spend about an hour or two with him to try to invest and help him. He's fraught with so much pain and so much suffering. It takes so much effort. And almost every day he wants to talk. Every day he texts me. It's really difficult to love him. I think it's easy if you're able to hang out with people that are easy to love. But you know, working with people who are struggling with their faith, working with non-believers, there's a real cost involved at times. And I don't mean to say that it's a terrible burden. They're beautiful, lovely people that God died on the cross for, and I have to have that passion and love for them. But yeah, there's a certain cost involved in serving God. But what did he do for us? How can I ever forget what he's done for us? And his command is that we love even our enemies. We love those, we have to forgive those who've hurt us and harmed us. And we need to share the gospel with people that are even offensive to us at times. But we, yeah, I think it requires a lot to be a good athlete, but God has a higher calling of eternal reward that he's called us to. Yeah, and again, I can't think of a better example of hard work and service than a farmer. The years we served in a farming role and the people we worked with, it's just really backbreaking, difficult, all weather, cold in the winter, cold out in the hot heat of the sun, difficulty. But all year round, even if it's a small garden, you know the work it takes to weed out and to work on this. That's my point, is just we need to spend our time on those little things, not wasting our time on things that distract, and really asking God, what is it that really matters? What will matter for eternity? What is God calling us to that we need to focus our energy on? Is it just work and making money? Is it just our family? Isn't there so much more that God has called us to? I think God's asking us to share in the suffering of a godly life. I think he's asking us to be sacrificial with our time. And we need to keep the beauty of Christ. And he is worth our service. He is worth our time. And I think a big calling for us as well is the reality that heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. We have to be reminded that in all reality, people are going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And for those that don't know him, for those who haven't had the chance to hear, we just want to thank you for sending us into many, many lives. Through the years, you've allowed us to speak the gospel to people who had never heard the gospel once. And so we're thankful that Grace Church has a heart for the nations, that Grace Church has supports missionaries like us to send the gospel out to people who have never heard before. And I'm just also burdened by people who walk away from their faith. We have young men and women here. They come with the culture of Christianity, and they come to college here, maybe because they couldn't get into another school, or their parents were realizing they were struggling, so they sent them to a Christian college to try to bring them back to faith. And a lot of them are struggling with their faith, and a lot of them are ready to walk away. As they become adults, they are leaving the faith of their parents. And so there's a real challenge for people to, in Canada as well, in the US as well, for us to really work on young people. And that's been a big burden of ours. And so, yeah, I think it makes an eternal difference to serve him and to impact people. It's so encouraging to see people like Elihu that we're spending time with. He got saved through other missionaries and other teachers here at Christ College, and we're able to spend a lot of time with him now that we've come here, and to build into his life and to encourage him and help him to stay focused on his studies, to help him really face a lot of the pain of his past. And we praise God that a young man like that is able to be here and to really find deliverance from the pain of his past. His father abandoned him, and actually he's lived with aunts, and he hasn't really had a stable life. His mom left when he was very young. He's never really had a relationship with his mother, and he has all this baggage, but Christ is meeting him, and Christ is healing him, and Christ is working in his life. And yeah, we all have our struggles, and I think one of the things about being a witness is we can be honest. I think many times our real stories is what is more compelling than some fake made up news about how we know Christ, and now our life is beautiful and we have no problems. I found many, many times the more honest I am about my faith and my struggles, the more I can be relatable to people. So God isn't asking us to be holier than thou or have some perfect story. And you know, once I became saved, all my problems went away. That doesn't really represent the truth, does it? I mean, we all have broken families and broken lives. But when we can relate to people and share our honest struggles and our real, the real changes that Christ is trying to make in our lives, and the difference between years ago until now, we're freer than we were. We're better off than we were. We have new hope. We have able to forgive people who have hurt us. We're able to love and care for people as we have received God's love and care for us. I think about another young woman that we're spending time with each week. And she comes from a situation where she's felt a lot of rejection, a lot of pain, a lot of issues from her past. And you know, Debbie and I are really coming alongside her, encouraging her, even kind of calling her to get out of bed because she's struggling with depression and rejection. And make sure that she gets to class, make sure that she's hearing truth, send her worship songs, send her just affirmation, words of affirmation to encourage her. There's a young man from Japan that is not a believer, but both Debbie and I are teaching him in the classroom, and we've had a chance to be real and honest and challenge him to think through not the hypocrisy that he sees around him at times, but to really think true Christianity, what does it look like? And to challenge him that many of his attitudes towards Christians are is the same attitude Jesus had, that there are a lot of hypocrites out there in Jesus' day as well as our day. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be real. We want to be honest. We want to share with him. And yet, a big part of what God's called us to is to go and make disciples. And that's something that we're involved with in an active way here. Thank you for your prayers for that. God has opened doors for us to be involved on a regular basis. We have set times each Wednesday where we have different students coming over for Bible study and fellowship and prayer time, and we're able to get to know them, and usually stirring up the gift of hospitality. Debbie provides a meal for these young college students, and of course they love having a home-cooked meal and hanging out with their teachers. And so we're able to spend that time to really invest and make disciples. We've also created a Friday evening fellowship time where we have about, it changes every week, but five or six people in a small group that come over and ask life questions. And maybe we just pray together. We read the Bible together. We do worship songs together. Sometimes we just watch a movie, but they are really hungry, open for someone to speak into their lives. And even last night, we were able to just address with about four or five young men what it means to be a man of God, and what it means to be a husband, a father one day, and how God has a calling in their lives to really face up to the struggles they're facing right now, to find freedom, to find deliverance from any of the addictions they're facing, and to really walk in faith and walk with Christ. God has given us an opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation, and that's one of the roles that God calls all believers to be, ministers of reconciliation. So when you see yourself in situations where you know people are estranged, or you know there's been unforgiveness, God wants you to play a role, get dirty, get in the muck of it all, and really help people to resolve this unforgiveness and bitterness of soul, because many Christians are trapped in that. And we see it here among some of the faculty and staff. It's heartbreaking, but you know, one of the reasons we feel God brought us here was that we're new and we're outsiders. And so we haven't taken sides in some of these conflicts, some of these issues. And we are able to bring people together, hopefully to resolve the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the division and disrespect. So yeah, God has been using us here, and we want to thank you for sending us here. And we want you to be encouraged that you have a gift. Do you know clearly what God's gift is for you? Are you stirring it up? Are you really actively, passionately representing Christ in your day-to-day life? Are you walking in grace? Are you an example of someone who's broken and struggling? Can you share that in the midst of all of your pain and suffering, that you still have hope? Can you still share with people how real it is to walk in a broken world with brokenheartedness, and yet to have life and hope in Christ? Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time together. I pray that you'll use some of the words that are very familiar, that are old stories from the Bible that everyone's heard, I pray, Lord God, that there'll be words that will remind people that you love them and you're beautiful and you're amazing. And through that, you desire that all people come to know you, that it's your desire that none perish. So, Father, when we think about people around us, give us a heart. Give us a heart to share the gospel with people. Give us a heart to be used to serve one another, to be disciple makers, to be servants, to reach out to the poor, to reach out to the lost and the hurting. Father, to serve meals for people, to use hospitality, to use our gifts as mentors, as disciple makers. Father, please encourage each brother and sister to walk faithfully, to use their talents, Lord, to build your kingdom. Lord, you truly are calling us into a deeper walk. You're calling us into a life of service, and you're calling us into a life to make a difference for eternity. We praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Bye.